We'll talk about the Wisconsin Values Budget this hour, an alternative budget proposal for the state released yesterday by a coalition of nonprofit groups. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is coming up on 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, May the 19th. Our guest says the severe budget cuts proposed by Governor Walker are not necessary to solve the state's budget woes and will be devastating to much-needed services. This alternative budget that he and his group released yesterday proposes some tax increases for corporations and the wealthy to share the burden. And we'll wonder what questions you have, whether this makes sense to you or not, at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action of Wisconsin. Good morning.
Good morning. Great to be here, Joy.
Thanks for joining us. So why do you and your coalition call this the Wisconsin Values Budget?
Well, we started with the problem that is presented by Governor Walker's budget, where he basically says that he has to make slashing cuts in public services, education that we've invested in for generations in Wisconsin because the fiscal crisis is so bad and that he really has no other choice. And so a number of groups got together to try to do the math, work through, and figure out whether that was really the case or not. And the lead organizations doing that were some of the top policy organizations in the state of Wisconsin. It was the Wisconsin Council on Children and Families, Institute for Wisconsin's Future, the Center on Wisconsin Strategy, or COWS, and then our group, Citizen Action of Wisconsin, and then 28 other groups participated in the process and signed on. And what we found was is that if you have corporations and the wealthy also share in the sacrifice, that you can actually avoid these draconian cuts and reduce them very dramatically and still balance the budget. And so we actually released a document yesterday which shows the math and shows that we do not have to drastically cut education, health care, long-term care, mass transit, the technical colleges, the university system, all the things that create real economic opportunity in the state of Wisconsin and security for seniors, people with disabilities, everyone who relies on health care and long-term care and other services, child care, in order to balance this budget. And so we wanted to get that into the debate and the discussion prior to the legislature taking final action on the on this two-year budget.
Yeah. It's hard to describe pie charts on the radio, but do the best you can in terms of talking about how you would distribute spending cuts and revenue increases.
Well, we already have what is a very painful and major concession made by public employee unions. They already agreed during the budget repair bill debate to very large health care and pension concessions. So they're already contributing a great deal to a close the $3.6 billion gap that we started with at the beginning of this year. We actually looked at it. Governor Walker claims that's $1.54 billion out of public worker concessions. That's cuts to local government and also to state employees. We actually didn't think you could get that much that in this budget, and it would lead to huge other additional cuts in local services not specified in the budget. So we specified $1.04 billion from those concessions for public employees. We found a similar amount, $1.04 billion, that could come if wealthy corporations paid their fair share and if we raised the tax rate on the wealthiest Wisconsinites. And so that's what we did in this budget, to raise the same amount. I mean, these corporations and the wealthy have more money than public employees, but the same relative amount. And for corporations, what we did is, large corporations, we rolled back the tax giveaways that Governor Walker gave during the special session and in the state budget for the most part. And then we also brought the share of corporate contribution to the state budget to the national average. Right now it's below the national average in Wisconsin. We thought it was fair to bring it to the national average, and clearly there wouldn't be a competitive disadvantage because we would not be a high-tax state. We would just be at the national average. One thing we did do is continue to make it to keep the tax credit for investing in Wisconsin and reinvesting profits in Wisconsin. So we did keep that, but otherwise we brought corporations to the national average. Mm-hmm. And what ends up happening just in terms of the cut side is Governor Walker has, in addition to the cuts to local government and public employees, $2.4 billion in cuts, which includes $500 million cuts for Medicaid. We only have $640 million in cuts, so substantially less, and $200 million in Medicaid. So there are some cuts in this budget. It's a balanced approach, but it's substantially less. It's not draconian. It will not roll back our generations of investments that we've made here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, when you're talking about tax increases for the wealthiest Wisconsinites, what do you mean?
Well, right now the top bracket for people, couples who make over $300,000 a year is 7.75%. This would move it up to 9.5%. And the second bracket, which is couples over $200,000 to $300,000, is 6.75%. We make it 7.5%. And so that is actually far less of a hit than public employees are taking, but we think it's fair and reasonable, particularly with economic inequality skyrocketing in this state and nationally over the last couple decades, that those doing much better than everyone else in the state should also contribute to this budget deficit in order to prevent slashing cuts to education, health care, other critical public services.
Defend your call for these tax increases based on Republicans, especially on the national level, say we don't have a revenue problem, we have a spending problem.
I think that's a very unbalanced way to view it, and what it's going to lead to is either slashing all of the things we do in state government in order to create opportunity and security for everyone in the state, or eventually a shift of additional tax burdens onto the middle class and onto lower-income Wisconsinites. I mean, we have a budget here. Walker's budget, I should mention, actually takes a lot of money out of the earned income tax credit for low-income Wisconsinites and takes a great deal of money out of the homestead tax credit, which helps a lot of low-income seniors and others who are low-income and have a house. So it raises their taxes at the same time that it leaves the wealthy and corporations off the hook. I think that we need a balanced approach that increases revenue where that's fair in order to protect services and protect what we need in order to have economic opportunity and security in the state. At the same time, we obviously need to be prudent. The budget crisis in Wisconsin, I should point out, Joy, was not caused by the residents of Wisconsin. It was caused by malfeasance on Wall Street and the financial collapse. And that's why tax revenues are down all across the country. Wisconsin's deficit is actually below the national average, according to the Center for Budget and Policy Priorities. But it's something we have to deal with cuts, but it shouldn't be only cuts, because that will just have a devastating effect on the quality of life and on opportunity and security here in Wisconsin.
And so what do you say to Governor Walker, who has said he doesn't want to raise taxes and that he wants Wisconsin to be open for business and tax increases would discourage job creation?
We just don't believe that case has been made at all. We're talking about bringing corporate taxes in Wisconsin, their share of state revenue, to the national average. That's all we're talking about here. There's really no end in sight. If you extend Governor Walker's argument out, there should be no corporate taxes in the state, and there should be no taxes on the wealthy in the state. And that would lead to even more draconian cuts in the future, even more serious shifts of the burden onto the middle class and the working poor. Our property taxes are high in this state in part because we've had that kind of tax shift for decades. I think with a balanced approach, we will also create the basis for economic opportunity. Companies will not locate here if we don't have a trained workforce, a strong K-12 education system we've invested in for years, a strong university system, and also technical colleges, which are cut substantially in this budget, which really do a huge amount to prepare workers for specific jobs. So some corporate leaders may selfishly demand more tax cuts for themselves, but they'll certainly leave the state if we don't have the workforce we need in order to make a profit and to run a business. And so that's the problem here. We will really destroy economic opportunity in this state if we do not make those key investments and if we roll back what we have done for generations here in Wisconsin, which is build a first-class K-12 education system, a first-class university system, and a first-class technical college system.
We're talking with Robert Craig. He is Executive Director of Citizen Action of Wisconsin. Citizen Action of Wisconsin is one group in a coalition of nonprofit groups that released an alternative budget proposal for the state of Wisconsin yesterday. And we are talking about what's in this Wisconsin values budget and how it differs from Governor Walker's proposed budget. And we are welcoming your questions, your reactions, and your views about this at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Taking a quick look at our weather forecast for today, some morning fog in eastern and southern Wisconsin. Otherwise, it's going to be a partly to mostly cloudy day today. There is a slight chance of showers, high temperatures statewide in the lower 70s. It will be in the lower 60s near the Great Lakes. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Good to have you with us on the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 19 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, May the 19th. Coming up this morning at 10 o'clock, Wisconsin Public Radio will provide special coverage of President Obama's speech on the Middle East and North Africa, live from the State Department. At 10 o'clock, I will preview the speech with UW-Madison history professor Jeremy Suri, and then NPR's coverage will begin at 10:20 this morning. That's special coverage of President Obama's speech on the Middle East coming up between 10 and 11 here on the Ideas Network. We are talking about an alternative budget for the state of Wisconsin released yesterday by a coalition of nonprofit groups. Robert Craig is our guest, Executive Director of Citizen Action of Wisconsin, one of the groups that says that the budget can be balanced without severe cuts to needed services in Wisconsin, with some tax increases for corporations and the wealthiest Wisconsinites. Our lines are full, so let me go right to the phones. Dan in Three Lakes is with us. Hello, Dan.
I believe pretty much in what this organization is pushing, and I think it's going to be long-term bad news for Wisconsin to follow Governor Walker's budget because we're cutting out a lot of what makes Wisconsin good. But I have one or two significant comments. One is a professor from the University of Wisconsin at Milwaukee had a calculation when the deficit was being talked about how a single year, one-time, percent-and-a-half surcharge on only the top bracket taxpayers in Wisconsin could pay off the deficit 100% in this biennium. And the other comment I'd like to make is people should realize there is no such thing as a corporate income tax. Any income tax imposed on a corporation. And by the way, the vast bulk of small businesses are not organized as business corporations. They're organized as limited liability corporations and pay taxes as individuals. But a business corporation, if it pays an income tax, that income tax does one of four or five things. Number one, it makes the corporation go broke. Or if not, that tax is passed on to consumers, or comes out of dividends, which are going into your pension fund, or comes out of profits, or comes out of salaries.
Yeah, so bottom line, Dan, you're saying don't try to tax corporations?
Absolutely. The corporate income tax should be abolished, and the people should take over the government in Wisconsin. The corporate voice should be killed.
Well, your reaction to this, Robert Craig?
Yeah, I don't want to get too far into the budget weeds, but on the caller's first point, I think he's talking about Professor Mark Levine at UW-Milwaukee and his calculation on the surcharge on the wealthy dealing with the whole budget deficit was about this year's budget, that the budget repair bill supposedly addressed. So it wasn't up for the next two-year budget, so it was a smaller number. So it doesn't generate enough to cover the whole deficit for the two-year budget. But as I pointed out earlier, Joy, we increased the tax rate for the top tax rate for the wealthiest Wisconsinites. On corporations, I mean, that's a discussion that can be had, certainly, that any corporate taxes are passed on. I think that they're not necessarily passed on to consumers because what sets prices is the market, what the market will bear. It's not just, in other words, a company will set a price point as high as they can and still not lose business. And so they're already at that price point. It affects all companies across the line, so it doesn't necessarily affect prices. It does affect profits, but we have record profits. And the only way to get at those record profits, which come in part from being in Wisconsin and taking advantage of the tremendous public services here, is to have revenue come from corporations. But I think that's a discussion worth having back and forth. But if you eliminate all corporate taxation, you have to replace it with a much steeper income tax, and that would have to be a significant public debate about that, obviously. I think it makes some sense from a progressive standpoint, but if you simply eliminated all together and didn't replace the revenue, it would cause, terrific problems for the state.
Next we go to Jim in Maguanago. Hello, Jim.
Yes. First of all, let me say I make $28,000 a year. So I'm definitely not in that big tax bracket. But nationally and statewide, I really am tired of people saying, let's go after the wealthy and get them to pay their higher, rate. Why don't we, if we really want to be fair with everybody in this state, and I'm not opposed to that, why don't we just put in a flat tax and share the burden amongst ourselves? Because our country was based on everyone being able to succeed. And what we do is we say, great, you succeeded, now you pay a bigger share. And that's penalizing people for being successful.
Right.
That's not what our founding fathers had intended. And this comes up again and again and again. Every time we have trouble, let's go after the wealthy, let's go after the corporations. I agree, they should all pay their fair share, and so should I. But, why do we constantly do that? It discourages people from being successful.
You're going to penalize the successful, Robert Craig, with this idea?
Well, I think the caller and I agree on the value basis that everyone should pay their fair share. So it comes down to a definition of what fairness is, right? The caller says it would be fairer to have a flat tax than having a progressive income tax where you have a higher rate if you're wealthier is unfair to people who do well. I don't agree with that. We in this country, in the state of Wisconsin, and La Follette are one of the first to really go to a progressive income tax. And it was done in the earlier last century because there was huge income inequality. And so there was less money you could get out of modest income working people. And there were huge dividends being received by the wealthiest Americans. We have gone back in that direction over the last 30 years. We now have income inequality that is greater than it's been since the Great Depression, since the 1920s. And so we're not talking about taxing them at a 50% rate or anything like that. But to make this work, they are doing so well in this society, in part because of the investments the whole public has made in the state, in public services, in an educated workforce, all the things you need to have a profitable corporation. It makes sense for them to pay a fair share, and we think that is a graduated income tax that is progressive with a higher rate for the wealthier. But, honest people who can disagree on that, but that's our perspective.
Next, we go to Laverne in Monroe. Hello, Laverne.
Hello, Joy. Hello, Robert.
Hi.
I agree with you. Taxes should be based on ability to pay. I think Franklin Roosevelt said that. And I read the Forbes magazine. They say we added another almost 200 new billionaires to the richest 400 billionaires in the country. So they can afford to pay more taxes. And I understand that Democrat Andy Jorgensen said keep your hands off senior care. I think they had some petitions, thousands of petitions they had signed. They showed on TV yesterday. We can't keep putting everything on property tax, because actually what they're doing is chasing people out to retirement homes, because property tax isn't based on ability to pay. Income tax is the most fair because it is based on ability to pay. Sales tax would probably be my second choice, but our governor took both off the table. It's impossible to do anything with the way the governor's running the state, and I can see why a lot of people are going up to Madison marching around the square. What else can they do?
And Laverne also brings up that the governor has taken this off the table. What do you hope happens with a Republican-controlled legislature taking a look at your alternative budget, Robert Craig?
Well, the way all of the groups that put the Wisconsin Values budget together see it, it's not just a matter of, you know, what the legislature will do or what the governor will do. We think providing them facts, providing them an alternative in an open democratic legislative process ought to be taken into account. They ought to consider this proposal. But if they're already dug in and are going to do whatever they've decided already, then this just becomes part of the public discussion moving forward, because we need to get to a balanced approach where we protect the vital Wisconsin public services that we have that create opportunity and security in the state. And so we would like, obviously, to have a better budget this cycle and hope that they're open to real concrete proposals that show a better way to do it without having draconian cuts. But if they're not, then the discussion will have to be just moved forward in the state. And people will begin, unfortunately, to see the effects of gutting a lot of our key public services in this state, unfortunately, if they are unwilling to listen. But we hope they are open to this proposal, because it's a very concrete proposal with a lot of very good policy work behind it that shows that there is a better way to do this.
We only have a minute before news. Laverne mentioned a petition to save senior care. Senior care is in a great deal of danger here?
Senior care is definitely greatly damaged in the governor's version of the budget. And so that is, and so things such as senior care, such as Badger care, such as family care, which allows seniors and people with disabilities to live independent lives and have access to community-based care and long-term care, those are all under grave threat in Governor Walker's budget. And if we don't, our perspective is, if we don't take the step of having corporations, large corporations and the wealthy, make a sacrifice similar to what public employees have already made, then a lot of these programs are in grave danger in this budget.
Robert Craig is our guest, Executive Director of Citizen Action of Wisconsin, who took part in the release yesterday of an alternative budget proposal for the state of Wisconsin called the Wisconsin Values Budget. We are talking about it, what's in it, what's not, and we're welcoming your thoughts and questions. We'll continue after the news. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. A coalition of groups released an alternative budget proposal for the state yesterday, and we are talking with a guest who says that the state's budget can be balanced without severe cuts to needed services, with some tax increases. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about this alternative Wisconsin budget this hour, the Wisconsin Values Budget, with Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action of Wisconsin, and we're welcoming your questions and your reactions to this at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And Robert Craig, I'm reading here that you are planning a big budget rally today. Oops, we don't have the right buttons on. Robert Craig, you have a budget rally scheduled for today?
And this is separate from the Values Budget Coalition, but there's another budget coalition called We Are Wisconsin, which is having a lobby day today about the cuts in the budget, and they're having a rally at the Capitol. So we're promoting that. I'm going to MC the event. So, but that's separate from the Wisconsin Values Budget project.
Okay. Judy in Spring Green is with us. Hello, Judy.
Hello. First of all, I want to say that I totally agree with your guest. I do believe what he is proposing makes all the sense in the world. But Walker and the Republicans, I don't believe, are even going to look at it, because I just keep getting the feeling they don't care about the middle class, the lower income, and the seniors. I think that there should be a recall to show them, Walker, he's wrong, in as much as, no, this isn't what the people want. But I think there's going to be a serious problem because of all the cuts in education. It's going to make our school system be inferior, and people not only are not going to move here if they have families, I think they're going to leave the state. That leads to my question. Have they looked at, I do not think school choice should be expanded as Walker wants, because that just doesn't make sense when he's cutting everything else. Have they looked at school choice, and would they be doing anything with school choice in their proposal? Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Judy. Do you, Robert Craig, deal with the school choice issue?
We do, and I want to say first, I agree with the caller completely that it really undermines the state's economy to disinvest in our education system, and that's what the Governor Walker's budget does. As far as school choice, we do not take off the cap and expand it. It's an additional expenditure that digs a hole deeper and helps undermine our public schools, especially in Milwaukee. In addition, we do not do what Governor Walker's budget does, which is give voucher credits to wealthier Wisconsinites in Milwaukee. In other words, his budget actually allows the wealthy to start to get money from the state to send their students, their kids to private academies. And so that is the wrong direction. So we take that out of the budget, obviously, and then also have the wealthy pay much more of their fair share of the budget deficit. So that's our approach to school choice. We do not do what Governor Walker is doing in this budget. I do want to say, as far as the caller's, understandable concern that the Walker and the legislature will do what they're going to do anyway, that we want to, at least with this budget, settle once and for all that they are not forced to do this by the fiscal crisis, that you can do a balanced approach that does balance the budget, and that they are making these choices on their own, because that argument is a crucial peg of Governor Walker's whole position, that he is forced to do these things and he has no other option. And this Wisconsin Values budget shows that that is not the case.
Our caller shared your concern over the effect of the proposed budget cuts will have on education. Was it $900 million worth of cuts in Governor Walker's budget?
There's nearly 900 million just K through 12.
Yeah.
And there's a 25% cut in the Wisconsin Technical College system. Then there are large cuts in the UW system, and there'll be huge tuition increases as well, both in the UW system and in the UW Madison. And so overall it's over $1 billion in education cuts. And that is just a critical driver to a dynamic economy. There may be large companies that would like to not to share in the burden here, but they're not going to help us. They're not going to stay in the state if they don't have an educated workforce, and if they don't have, with the technical colleges, people prepared for the specific jobs they need done in a growing and dynamic economy.
Let me have you, though, respond to Governor Walker's explanation of at least this cut in state aid to local schools, the K-12, $900 million. He says that those cuts will be absorbed by the concessions that the teachers are making with their health care and retirements, that the whole cut in collective bargaining was to provide the tools for that cut. So what do you say about that?
Well, the numbers don't add up. There are still going to be massive cuts in education by any fair-minded analysis of this budget. We actually think that the concessions are very painful. They're certainly going to harm the workforce. In other words, it's going to be less attractive to be a teacher, to remain a teacher, when we need to attract the best teachers and retain them in Wisconsin. But beyond that, we don't even think you can wring that much money out of public employees, teachers, and other public employees as he does in this budget. And so that's going to lead to massive service cuts. But I don't think anyone who's done a fair-minded independent analysis of this budget believes that there will not be absolutely massive cuts in education. It's $800 per child if you add it out. And the concessions from public employees, which are very painful, and teachers, are not nearly enough to cover the difference.
Jim in East Troy wants to know how your budget proposal addresses property taxes, something he says people are really struggling with.
Well, we don't change that, basically. We do not raise revenue through property taxes. One thing that we do that is going to be helpful is that since we cut local government less, there's less pressure on property taxes. In other words, the huge cut, the only way that Walker prevents large property tax increases is that he both puts a cap on property taxes and greatly reduces state aid to school districts, to county government, to city government, to towns and villages, etc. by giving them more revenue, we actually free up property tax money in order to protect public services. But there's no, we do not balance this budget on property taxes, and certainly agree with the writer of this that would be not a good idea at this stage, particularly given just the effect of the housing crisis, which was again caused not by anyone in Wisconsin but by Wall Street speculation.
Jerry in Genesee Depot is with us now. Hello, Jerry. You're on the air.
Good morning. One of the most salient points that I have kept in my mind for 4 or 5 months is an article in the Milwaukee Journal at the end of last year about the richest woman in Wisconsin. Started out from the bottom, no wealthy relatives or anything, and built the businesses up in the Beloit area. And she mentioned that if she weren't resident of Wisconsin, there's no way she would attempt to start a business here due to all the regulations. And I've had experience with that. And as to taxing the rich, my richest relative lived in Wisconsin most of her life, and she's still here in the summer. But she said, I'm not paying those taxes, so she's a resident of Arizona, along with quite a few other people that I know. So taxing the rich may not be as fruitful as everyone thinks.
Robert Craig?
There's a national study came out a couple of weeks ago. NPR did a big story on it on Morning Edition that ran on a lot of WPR stations here that showed that the wealthy do not decide where to live based on taxes. And so this was a long national study, very definitive. So there's a lot of anecdotal things, and certainly individual wealthy people who have access to politicians like to say, I'd move to another state because of the taxes, or I did because of the taxes. It's simply not borne out by the research. People live in people are wealthy can live where they want to live, and they often want to live not just in taxes at the states that have middle level taxes like Wisconsin, but a lot of very high tax states on the East Coast, for example. Wealthy there are very dense and wealthy people. I think that in general, you have everyone believes in the Horatio Alger ideal that people can work their way up to the top. But I think it's important to understand that people make it in this society in part because of all of the public structures and services we create, the education system, all the opportunity that we invest in. And if we don't do that, there is not as much of an ability to succeed and to live the American dream for everyone in the country, everyone in the society. And we think people who, the few who are very, very successful and fortunate, who actually work their way up from the bottom and don't just inherit the money, that they, if they've done very well, do owe something back to the rest of the society to create the same level of freedom and opportunity that they received in this state. And so the wealthiest woman who lives in Beloit that the caller mentioned, well, she grew up in Wisconsin here at a time when we invested very heavily in education and in public services and had a much fairer, a more progressive tax system than we do right now.
Our next caller is Steve in Madison. Hello, Steve.
Good morning. Well, first of all, I'd like to say I do agree with your guest. I think everybody should pay their fair share, and the people who have benefited the most from our system, you know, can share the pain a little bit too. But one thing I'm wondering, and I've never heard this addressed, is, well, first of all, you're dealing with a bunch of true believers, so I don't know what any kind of analysis could do to change their mind. But has anybody ever really looked at the difference between the taxes and what Wisconsin residents would pay out of pocket? As a, you know, for fees and extra money for services as opposed to paying taxes. And the only example I can think of this morning is that in Wisconsin we pay $75 for a car registration. And in other states people are paying $200 or $300 for a car registration. If you take that kind of attitude, you know, you may end up, even though you're paying less taxes, the average person may be paying more money out of pocket than they would be otherwise.
Robert Craig?
The caller is right on this. There have been when you have these analyses that come out occasionally from right-wing think tanks that Wisconsin's a high-tax state, they don't take into account fees. If you take into account, as the caller called it, I think out-of-pocket costs, which is a good way to put it, Wisconsin is a middle-level tax state in the low 20s, and so by a number of different analyses. So we are not an extremely high tax state right now, and so but with that myth has been propagated for political purposes. As far as the caller's remark that we're dealing with true believers here, that may be the case, but what we want to do when addressing the whole public is at least make it clear to as many people in Wisconsin as we can that this is not a choice simply required by the fiscal crisis, which has been Governor Walker's position at the state level. It's also, quite frankly, been Paul Ryan's level argument for his budget proposal at the national level. But we're showing at the state level that there are other options, that if we have everyone pay their fair share, including corporations and the wealthy, then we can balance this budget without draconian cuts. Now, if people will still want to support that, That's their decision, but we don't want them to be misled into the idea that these are necessary choices. They're not. They're choices that are being made. We could make different choices.
Our guest is Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action of Wisconsin, talking about the alternative state budget that he and other groups released yesterday. And we welcome more of your calls at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And we have provided a link there to this Wisconsin Values Budget if you want to take a look at it. Coming up after 8 o'clock, we will talk with the author of Self-Compassion, Stop Beating Yourself Up and Leave Insecurity Behind. Checking our weather forecast for today, it's going to be partly to mostly cloudy today, a slight chance of showers with highs today in the low 70s. Currently, it's clear in Superior, 47 degrees, in Wausau, cloudy and 58. In Green Bay, cloudy and 54, La Crosse, 57, Madison, 57, and in Milwaukee, 52 degrees. We can expect high temperatures today in the low 70s. It'll be in the low 60s near the Great Lakes. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. A reminder that at 10 o'clock this morning, Wisconsin Public Radio brings you special coverage of President Obama's speech on the Middle East and North Africa. That's expected to last from about 10 until 11 this morning. We continue talking about the Wisconsin Values Budget with our guest, Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action of Wisconsin, and our next caller our next caller is Janice in La Crosse. Hello, Janice.
Hi, hello, Joy, and your guest. Joy, I am for Walker because I think he was to balance the budget, and now he's doing it, and people are all screaming, uncle, because to me, everyone has to pay more, and they're going to have to take less. And they're not used to doing that because that's why we're in this position that we are in.
Yeah, Janice, you know. Let me just ask you, since this is the whole point of our this alternative budget, is the alternative budget says, yes, everybody should pay more, including the rich and corporations. And then we balance the budget that way.
Yes, and I'm definitely for the very wealthy because to me, the very wealthy do need to pay more. But to me, I think the point is, everyone's going to have to pay more. If you have to pay more for your education, you're going to have to. And if people are going to have to take less in some benefits, they're going to have to. And it's like, just start getting it, people. This is where we're at. Everybody doesn't want to take anything less because they're used to having everything they want. And those days are over. I don't have a pension, and I don't have any health care benefits. I have none of that, you know. And I don't appreciate people going down to our Capitol and trashing that place and spending several, you know, hundreds of thousands, million dollars to fix it now. I mean, to me, that's light. You know, I said freedom is not license. Freedom means responsibility.
All right. Well, a number of issues brought up here. Robert Craig, your reaction to Janice's comments.
Well, I mean, we balance the budget in the Wisconsin Values Budget. It's a question of how we do it. And we say the wealthy and corporations should pay their fair share, and the governor doesn't. He, in fact, gives them more tax giveaways. So that's the fundamental question here. I think there's this idea out there that somehow we're a much poorer country than we used to be, and we can't have the education system we used to have. We can't have the university system we used to have and the technical college system. We can't have the health care system, senior care and Badger care that we've built up. And that's simply not the case. We can't do it if we won't make choices that fairly share the burden, that make sure corporations and the wealthy also pay into the system. But I think that we as a country not only can still have these things, we have to have these things if we're going to have real prosperity, if we're going to have freedom in this country. If you don't have the access to the education you need to get a family-sustaining job, you're not fully free. if you're a senior and you can't afford your prescription drugs, you can't get a home care attendant to help you stay in your home and get some help to do that, then you're not really free. You're not living an independent life. Same with a person with a disability who needs community-based support. So I think all of these things are necessary to freedom, and that we can still have them if we will actually share the burden here. We have a short-term budget crisis in Wisconsin caused not by Wisconsin teachers or public employees or by seniors or by kids. It was caused by Wall Street. We need to make some tough choices. If everyone pays their fair share, including corporations and the wealthy, we can balance this budget and not gut our generational investments in vital public services that create prosperity here in Wisconsin.
Yeah. Janice might have missed the portion of the program where we talked about what your budget calls for when it comes to concessions from public employees.
Yeah, public employees have already made this concession during the big debate over the budget repair bill in order to try to protect their workers' rights to collective bargaining. So we have $1.04 billion coming from public employee concessions, that is state employees and local employees, school district employees, but also say that corporations and the wealthy in Wisconsin should make the same contribution of $1.04 billion, and we show in this budget how they could do that and that we could do this in a way that both protects our public services, protects everything we need for prosperity and opportunity in Wisconsin, and at the same time still creates a very attractive business climate.
Yeah. And while it's off topic, I want you to briefly react to Janice being upset that that protesters caused millions of dollars in damage at the state capitol.
Well, the damage was greatly overstated. You remember the scandal that the $7.5 million estimate was scratched on a piece of notebook paper. And in fact, most of the damage is simply that there were a lot of people there, that the Capitol was used. I think the Capitol's purpose is to be the center of democracy in Wisconsin, and that people coming out and expressing their views on something that is a radical departure from Wisconsin's traditions is not only appropriate, it shows what a strong democratic state this is and how many people are engaged and active in the process. And so I think we should be, whether your audience agrees with the protesters or not, I certainly agree with the protesters. Even if you don't, you should appreciate the importance of the democratic process and people going and making their voices heard. That leads to a much more vibrant public discussion. It's why this country was created.
Richard in Lake Geneva. Hi, Richard.
Good morning.
Morning.
I appreciate the work that your guest organization is doing and applaud it. I have a related hypothetical question, as it were, for him. I understand that states have to balance their budget annually, Wisconsin among them. But it seems to me this is counterproductive, and it would make more sense if we could have requirements that where the budget was balanced over the course of the business cycle rather than each year, because what balancing each year does is reduce aggregate demand in the economy and slows down the recovery that's taking place right now. So I'm interested if what your guest thinks about that perspective.
Okay, because we're short on time, what do you think of that, Robert Craig?
Caller makes a great point. What we tend to do is we cut services like Medicaid, unemployment, you know, things that we need during a recession because revenue goes down. So it'd be much smarter to set it up so that we are saving money for the recessions during the upturn. So that would make a lot more sense. We haven't had that discussion in Wisconsin, but the caller makes an excellent point.
Yeah, and in our final minute, what do you hope lawmakers do with your alternative budget?
Well, I think now that we've stripped away the idea that you have to do what the governor's budget does, then we should have a real discussion of what's more important, what our priorities are. We think that preserving our first-rate education system, our first-rate healthcare system, is vital to economic opportunity, to real security for everyone in Wisconsin, and in fact, is necessary to have the real conditions needed for real freedom, economic freedom, and the freedom to live an independent, fulfilling life. And so we hope that the legislature will look at that and realize that a fairer, more balanced budget that asks corporations, large corporations, and the wealthy to pay their fair share is a much better approach and will maintain everything that we've built in Wisconsin and made it a great state to live in.
Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action of Wisconsin. The Wisconsin Values Budget is linked to the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page if you want to take a look at it. Thanks to Rob Ferret for producing this program. Thanks to Bill Martins and to Chris Molina for on-air production and direction. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There is much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.